Well, we did think that people would be touched by the story, but we were surprised at how widespread it was. We got, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails. We just got incredible reaction. I think, you know, most of the small regional papers in America picked that story up and ran it. So many people read it. We heard from people in all around the world. I think people weren't focused on President Carter. He hasn't been the president for 40 some odd years. It's been a long time. And I think reminding people of who he was and what a good example he set, not just as a president, but as a human being, really resonated with people. It really made people feel good.
How is he right now? How is he health-wise? We can presume that he's still fairly active. And for the millions that read your article, to read just that was a great, great feeling, I guess.
I think it was, yeah. We spent a weekend with him last August and wrote that story, but we also just saw him again just a couple of weeks ago down in Plains, Georgia, where he lives. And he's almost 95 now. He's still very active. He walks a lot. And he still likes to swim in his pool. And, you know, he and his wife do a lot of hiking around their house. And they're very, very active. I think he's had a very healthy lifestyle for his whole life. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't drink. He's very active. He gets a lot of exercise. So I think he's in very good shape. And yes, he's just a wonderfully inspirational man. When you talk to him, you feel good.
But he lives modestly, which is a sharp contrast to his successors.
That's right. And if you're the president of the United States, the opportunities to make money after you leave office are absolutely tremendous. And remember, a lot of these people, like Gerald Ford or Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, you know, for their whole lives, even, you know, the Bushes, for their whole lives they've been public servants, and those salaries are relatively modest compared to what they could make if they were in private business. So a lot of them, starting with Ford, and especially Clinton, decided that after they left office that it was okay to accept these seats on big corporate boards or to give speeches that, you know, some of them they can make it. Some of them, I suppose, make, you know, millions of dollars giving speeches. But Carter chose not to do that. He said that for him that felt like taking advantage of the office of the president, and he didn't want to do that. Now, he also is very quick to say that he doesn't blame any of the others for doing it. It's perfectly legal. It's perfectly ethical. There's nothing wrong with it. If someone wants to pay you a lot of money to give a speech, what's wrong with that? But Carter took a different tack, and he lives very, very modestly. He lives in the same house that he and his wife Rosalind built in 1961. It's a very modest little house, and they live a very quiet lifestyle. I'm not sure we'll ever see something like that again.
Plains is one of the keys to this kind of lifestyle.
Yes, absolutely. Plains is it's a tiny little speck of a town. It's a couple of hours south of Atlanta, Georgia, and it's way out in farmland. And they grow, you know, they grow peanuts and corn there, and there's not much else going on. You know, the poverty rate there is still, I think, around 40%, so almost half of the population lives in some sort of poverty. Now, there are only, I think, 700 people who live there, so it's a tiny little town, and if you go there, it's like the whole town is a museum to Jimmy Carter. The railway station where he had his campaign headquarters is still perfectly preserved, and all of the shops sell, you know, they sell food and they sell Jimmy Carter memorabilia. The place is like a shrine to the Carters.
It is quoted to say, "It's just never had been my ambition to be rich." This is almost a philosophical, a lifestyle statement in itself.
He is. He's a very spiritual man. You know, religion has always been a huge part of his life. And you know, I think it's a very, very deeply held thing with him. And he doesn't like, as someone said to me, he doesn't like show-offs, and he doesn't like people who think they're big shots, and he doesn't think he's a big shot, which is kind of silly considering that he was the president of the United States. He's a big shot, whether he likes it or not, but he tries to live a very modest, very humble, very deeply religious life. He still teaches Sunday school lessons in the same church where he's been going since he was a boy.
And is it true that the Carters fly commercial jets? Ex-presidents often fly private jets?
Yes, they do. Well, you know, another thing about being the president is that you have a lot of friends and you have a lot of people who want to help you out. And that includes people, that includes rich people who have private planes. And, you know, a lot of former presidents, I would say most of them, you know, when they go from one place to another, they do it in a private plane. But Jimmy Carter gets on regular old commercial jets just like you and I do. And sometimes he gets up and walks up and down the aisle and says hello to everybody because he knows that they're interested. And it's very funny.
Jimmy Carter used his post-presidency to support human rights, but Carter's presidency is often remembered, especially abroad, for the Iran hostage crisis. Do you think that history will do him justice in this crisis? He is quoted to say, "I want to do anything to get them home safely," which I did.
You know, it's hard to say. It's been a long time, and I think he's still regarded as not a great president. You know, 2 weeks ago he even said to me that he didn't think he had been a great president, but he thought he'd been a good one. You know, and a lot of people say he was a terrible president. But, I think that on balance, I think people will remember him as having done some very important things when he was the president, and also having dealt with some terrible crises that were not of his making, like the Iran hostage situation. There was nothing that he did. There were no policies of the United States that created that, or no Carter policies. So, and he had to deal with it, and he felt very, very deeply about that, and he spent most of his time, he says, you know, obsessing over how to get those hostages home and how to deal with how to help their families. And so I think that dragged him down, but you know, he said he's very proud of the fact that when he was president, he made human rights front.
Yeah,
and
of course he was awarded the Nobel Prize
for his
efforts
exactly.
in keeping the peace and supporting human rights, Camp David,
accords
between Israel and Egypt. This is a set of great historical achievements, isn't it?
Yes, I mean those are definitely the high points of his administration, and you know, there's a new book out recently that basically asks the same question that you're asking: is, you know, was the Carter presidency maybe better than we give it credit for, than most people remember? And you know, I think history will remember that he accomplished some pretty great things.
"I always told the truth," he says. Will he be pleased if in generations to come you will be remembered like a very decent man that always told the truth?
Well, he said, you know, that this article and the whole thing was not sort of, you know, overtly political. It wasn't about Donald Trump. But when we asked Jimmy Carter about Donald Trump, he said, you know, that was his main gripe with Trump. He says, I don't believe he tells the truth. And he said, you know, I may have made a lot of mistakes, but I feel like I always told the truth, and I'm very proud of that. And he was saying he didn't think that President Trump does that. So they have a pretty great difference there.
With a billionaire in the White House and proud to be, will you think that any future ex-president will ever live the way Mr. Carter does? In other terms, that Carter ethical and moral values will rule again in the political scene?
You know, it's hard to imagine because there are, you know, Obama, when he left office, he and his wife, Michelle Obama, signed a book deal for, you know, I think it was like $60 million to write their books. And, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, and they're going to work very hard for that money to writing those books, but they will never live like Jimmy Carter lives. And, you know, that's neither a good thing nor a bad thing. It's simply a fact. So as, you know, in the future, will we ever see another president who goes back and lives in the same house that he or she had been living in for 50 years before he became president? I don't know. It's hard to imagine. Although it must be said, a lot of the people who are running in the 2020 election are not wealthy people. They're people of very modest means, and a lot of them sound a lot like Jimmy Carter when they talk. So who knows? Never say never, right?
And for the world, what kind of lesson of legacy?
I think the legacy of Jimmy Carter, the biggest legacy, is that decency matters, and that people crave goodness and decency in their leaders. They also want strength. They want someone who will fight for them. But I think at the end of the day, Carter reminds us that people are looking for an example. They're looking for someone they can say to their children, look at the president, he's a good man, be like the president. He's a decent, honest, kind, generous man. And I think that's ultimately Carter's biggest legacy.
How rewarding was for you to contribute in such a big way with an article for a greater understanding, especially among young generations?
You know, over the course of my career, the most rewarding thing has always been giving a voice to people who don't have one, people who are, find themselves in terrible situations and don't have anyone to tell their story. So I've always loved doing that. But yes, there was something very rewarding about reminding people about who Jimmy Carter was and still is. It felt good, and the reaction to it was very rewarding. My wife, Mary Jordan, and I wrote the article together, and we felt very gratified that people, especially young people, who said, I didn't know this man. I wasn't even born when he was the president, but I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud to learn about him. So yeah, that did make us feel very good.